Let's look here tonight, and I want to start reading in verse 32 of chapter number 4. I'm not sure how far we'll get tonight, but I want to come on down through here and give you some things that in my heart this evening. I started to go another direction, but I just couldn't get peace about it. So the Lord just had me pick right back up here. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power, I wish you'd underline that in your Bible, that words, those two words, great power, great gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then here's two more words, and great grace was upon them all. In the early church, there was great power and there was great grace. I honestly believe they're inseparable. I don't believe you can have great power without having great grace. And I don't believe you can have great grace without having great power. Neither was there any of them that lacked, among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands and houses sold them, and they brought the prices of the things that were sold, laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who was by the apostles surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, he sold it, brought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. And they kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it. In other words, they both knew about it. And they brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? While it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. Now watch this. Here's two more words. And great fear. There was great grace, there was great power, and there was great fear that came on all them that heard these things. I'm going to just stop and ask a question tonight. I'll read on down there in a minute. How many can remember in yesteryear when there was more respect for the house of God than there is in this generation that we live in? How many can remember when there was more respect for the Word of God than there is in this generation? How many can remember when there was more respect for the man of God than there is in this generation that we live in? I'll tell you, here in this early church, there was a great fear. There was a respect, amen, for the things of God. And the Bible said here, and the young men arose and wound him up and carried him out and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. What was Peter doing? Blessed be the name of the Lord. He was giving her an opportunity. I serve a God of grace. He'll give us an opportunity, even when we mess it up bad, to fix it. Amen. He was giving her an opportunity to get it right. And he said here, did you sell the land for so much? And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead. And carrying her forth, they buried her by her husband. And look at verse 11. And great fear, there it is again, came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. They were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. If you go back over there in verse 32, they were of one heart. There was some trouble, but now they're still of one accord. Amen? And they didn't let it bother them. Amen? They went on. But the Bible said, the rest of, there's no man joined himself to them, but the people magnified them, and the believers were more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on the beds and couches, and at least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. Then there came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks, them that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, every one. And that, see, the Bible didn't say here that they were healed, every one that had faith. The Bible said they were healed, every one. There's a danger in the Word of God when you get into the Word of God, especially here in the book of Acts, of trying to take all of this and make it applicable to the church today. These were apostles. God had given them wonders and signs and power that was going to go away. The Jews required a sign. And God gave them a great sign, gift, amen, in this day. And the Lord was going to bring the gospel. And in the book of Acts, as you go through, there's going to be a transition from the Jew to the Gentile. Let me just say this to you. They had rejected God the Father in the Old Testament. And then Jesus come along and they rejected God the Son. And now in the book of Acts, you're going to see the Jew nationally now. There's some individuals getting saved just like today. But nationally, they rejected God the Holy Ghost. There was no more God to reject. Amen. So God, he let blindness in part happen to Israel. And he turns to the Gentile. And you're going to see the sign gifts fade away. Are you listening to me? Read the end of the book of Acts. It doesn't look like anything like the beginning of the book of Acts. And the Bible said the Jews, they required that sign. Let me just give you this to help you. Let me see if I can find it over in the book of Corinthians. I didn't mark it, but I know that it's over here. I may have to get somebody to help me find it. There's a passage over here. Let me see here. I believe it might be in 1 Corinthians 13. Let me see if it is. I think it is. All right, look at verse 8. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which was in part shall be done away. You say, preacher, what's perfect? Right here, the precious old Word of God. And God said, now, in this day, you don't look for a sign, you look to the Scripture. And look to the Savior. And the only thing that pleases God is faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For we must believe that He is. And that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I want to give you several things out of this passage. Let me pray. And then we'll go to looking at it. About this church. And the things that we can learn from this church. Father, thank you tonight for the Word of God. I pray, Lord, tonight that you would bless it. Help us, our Father, as we look into the Word of God this evening. Bless us, our Father. Teach us something from Thy Word. Help us, Father, to realize tonight, Lord, that even in this generation, Lord, You do, as the missionary said Sunday night, You still perform in miracles. Hallelujah. Every time somebody gets saved, it's a miracle of miracles. And we thank You, Lord, for that tonight. I praise You for it. I pray You'd speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. First word I want to look at tonight is the word observation. There's just some things I want to observe down through this text. First thing I observe is unity. The Bible said the multitude of them that believed were of one heart. The Bible said where your treasure is, we talked about that, there will your heart be also. And here are some people that proved their heart. They were willing to give of their treasure. And there's an observation here that if there's going to be great grace, there's going to be great power, and there's going to be great fear, then there has to be unity among the people of God. The second thing I see here under that word observation as I look at it, the Bible said here in verse number 36, and Joseph, who was apostles, surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation. We know that Barnabas was a great encourager, a Levite of the country of Cyprus. He, having land, he sold it. He brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. The second thing we see here is loyalty. There was unity, but then there's loyalty. I'm going to tell you something right now. I believe that in our country, we're fixing to see a big problem with loyalty. Amen? I believe that many times the church gets in trouble when people are no longer loyal to their Lord, loyal to the church, and loyal to the pastor. But thank God in this early church, there was unity. There was loyalty. There was loyalty to the leadership that God had put in their life. But then thirdly, under this observation, I'm just looking at some things here that God will bless. God will bless unity and God will bless loyalty. That's not blind loyalty. Paul, the apostle, he said, be you followers of me, even as I also am a follower of Christ. It's not blind loyalty, but it's saying, hey, that's taught in the Word of God. Amen. And I believe God blesses that. And the Bible tells us then, look, there's purity, great fear. The Bible said in verse 11, came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. I've often wondered if there would be a change in the numbers in the average church if people fell dead at the door for lying to the Holy Ghost. Amen. I'm telling you, there was a purity and there was a fear among God's people. I'm going to tell you something right now. My daddy, he taught me something when I was a kid. We came down here to Southwest Virginia. I had some cousins that were meaner than a snake. I don't even reckon they was deacon youngins, and they was still mean as a snake. They wasn't even preacher's youngins, and they was still mean as a snake. But they taught me that them guys with them badges and them Kmart lights on their cars, they said, Brother Mike, that's them pigs. And we were on our way home from vacation, and we passed a police officer, he passed us, something like that. I saw one. I told Daddy, I said, there goes another one of them pigs. Can anybody guess how many times I said that after that? I said it twice. The first and the last time. That's when I said it. Amen. My daddy taught me something about police officers, taught me something about authority, and taught me that they were not pigs. Amen. That they were there to protect us. I can remember Dad getting stopped for speeding one time. And I'm telling you, he had a station wagon full of youngins. And I believe by the time that state trooper got done talking to my daddy, that he would have rather had a ticket. I mean, tell you, he just put Daddy to shame in front of all of us. Amen. He said, you driving like this and God's giving you a bunch of youngins here you're responsible for and you ought to take care of. I tell you what, I believe all of us wanted to put our seatbelt on and do what was right. Amen. But he just gave Daddy a warning. I'm just saying there was a fear that my father taught me. I can remember going before the judge. I've been before a judge three times in my life. And all three times it was for speeding. You say, preacher, why did you go before the judge? Why didn't you just pay it? Because I learned something the first time. If you'll put you some clothes on, look like somebody, and act like somebody, go in there and stand before him. Every time they cut the fine in half. They cut the points in half. Amen. That's worth a trip down to the courthouse to me. Amen. And so I go down there, but I can remember I'm standing there. All I did was speed, but I was shaking all over. There was just something about the authority that man sitting behind that desk had. Amen. Now I believe something right now, this word, this Bible ought to have some authority in our lives. It ought to cause us to fear. Amen. And to walk with God. Not, my friend, just shaking and trembling, but the fear of God, just to do what He wants us to do in this generation. That's just a little observation. There were great things happening as a result of great power and great grace and great fear that came upon the people. There were great things happening from the Lord. There was opposition. Not only the word observation, but I know this. Listen to me carefully. I've said this before and I'll say it again. We cannot just keep going forward without opposition. How many knows that? You can't do it. Now, if you're sitting still or going backwards, you probably won't have to face much opposition. Amen? But if you're going somewhere and you're doing something, then opposition will come. It came from within, with Ananias and Sapphira. It came from without. Look at verse number 17. The Bible said here, then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation. Can I ask you a question tonight? If people were getting help, and God's blessing the people, the church, the early church, there's power, there's grace, there's fear, there's people being healed. I'm telling you, there's people getting help. Amen. Let me ask you something right now. What kind of a person would be filled with indignation? I'll tell you what kind. The kind that's filled with the devil. Amen? And that's exactly what they were. They were losing their grip. They were losing. Listen, you probably don't know much about this church. But I'm going to tell you something right now. You can go to some of these churches. I started out in a church up there in the coal fields. And I'm telling you right now, that church began to grow. And somebody's had the grip for 50 years began to lose it. Look out, Jack. I'm telling you, it's coming. Amen. I'm telling you, we should want the head to have the grip on the church. Amen. And I'll tell you, these Sadducees didn't like it. They didn't like it. It looked like there were people listening to Peter. And people listening to the Word of God, people getting help, people getting healed, people getting saved, amen, by the multitudes, God was adding them to the church. Let me just say this to you tonight. Listen to me. There's one thing I like about this early church. I would to God in this country, and it may come back. It may come back. Listen to me right quick. It may come back when they start passing these laws that if you preach certain things, you'll go to jail. It may come back. I'm going to tell you something right now. In this generation I'm reading about, it was easy to tell which side of the fence you were on. It was easy to tell if you were with him or against him. Amen. It was easy to tell. Nowadays, sometimes it's not so easy, is it? Let me say this. Our tongue should be the same on Monday morning as it is on Sunday morning. Our eyes should be the same on Sunday morning and the same on Monday morning. Amen. Our ears should be the same. Amen. I believe that, don't you? And in this generation, it was easy to tell where people stood. I remember that old episode of Andy Griffith and that old guy, the darling fella. How many knows who I'm talking about? Amen. He'd say, just so I knows where you stand. Yeah, how many remembers that? Amen. Just so I knows where you stand. Amen. Glory to God. I tell you, it's been said of Brother Joe that the neighborhood knows where he stands. Man, he set a mess on this hill that the people know where we stand. Know where we stand. I appreciate the Lord. There was opposition. And sometimes, you know, I'm like one fella said. He said, when God saved me, God called me to preach, I just knew everybody was going to love me. But it didn't take long to figure out that just don't work that way. Hey, amen. There's going to be opposition in the family. I just read it in my Bible reading either yesterday or today where Jesus said, I'm not come to send peace but a sword. There's going to be variance even in the family. Amen. A son or a daughter and a dad or a mother or an in-law. Amen. But I'm telling you tonight, God wants us to see in this observation that unity and loyalty and purity will bring about great power and great grace and great fear, and great things will happen around the house of God. And when that happens, the next word to look for is opposition. There'll be opposition from within, and there'll be opposition from without. Amen? You can mark it down. It'll happen somewhere along the way. Notice here in verse 18, and they laid their hands on the apostles, and they put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go, stand, and speak. What did they want them to do? They wanted them to stop going, and they wanted them to stop standing, and they wanted them to shut up. But when the angel of the Lord opened the prison doors, he said, just go back to doing what you was doing before you come in here. Amen. Go stand and go speak the things which you've heard. Amen. The words, all the words of this lie. I like that little phrase right there. Because if we're not careful, every preacher, I'll say this to every preacher, if we're not careful, we'll get our little pet hobby horses and we'll ride them to death. Amen. How many knows what I'm talking about? And the Bible didn't say to ride a hobby horse to death. It said, preach all of it. All the words of this life. Amen. There ought to be some preaching coming out of Genesis. There ought to be some preaching coming out of Revelation. And there ought to be some preaching coming out of every one of them books in between. Amen. All the words of this life. Now, watch this. There's our obligation. And I'll finish with this last word tonight. There's an observation. There's opposition, but there's an obligation. The angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors. And he said, and brought them forth and said, go and stand. How many believe we have an obligation tonight to go? Listen, we have an obligation to send. That's why we had the missionary with us. Amen. But we don't only have an obligation to send. We have an obligation to go. How many believe we have an obligation to stand? And having done all, to stand. Amen. I'll tell you something right now. I believe with all my heart that before this thing's over, these obligations will not be easy to carry out. The Bible said here, go and stand. How many believe we have an obligation to speak? Amen. The Bible said if we're ashamed of him, he'll be ashamed of us. Amen. And we need to, my friend, know that whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed. Go, stand, and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. Let me ask you a question. What do you think the Sadducees thought when they found them right back in there doing the same thing? I'm going to tell you something right now. I believe their heart kind of sunk a little bit, don't you? How'd they get out? Amen. I'm going to tell you something right now. I'll tell you how they got out, and I'll tell you how we're going to get out, by the miraculous power of God. I believe God's going to take us out of this thing and let them have it. Amen. One day, after a while, the Bible said here, if you'll look at verse number 29 with me just a moment, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. Notice here, notice this obligation. I want to give you a little phrase here that the Lord spoke to my heart about. Let's come on down through the reading. Verse 21. When they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together, and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, the prison surely found, we shut with all safety, and the keepers standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within. You tell me God ain't good. Amen. I don't know if they went to sleep or if God put them in a trance or what, but them old boys walked right out by them, and they didn't even know they were gone. The Bible said, when the high priest, the captain of the temple, the chief priests heard these things, they doubted of them, whereunto this would grow. Then came one and told them, saying, behold, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? I love this. And behold, oh my goodness, it's kind of like sitting on this side of the sea and saying to a president on the other side of the sea, don't do that. You'll get that after a while. Don't do that. Now you know that ain't right. Don't do that. They didn't have any power behind their words. They commanded them not to teach. And they commanded them not to preach. But I tell you, thank God they went on and done what God wanted them to do anyway. Watch what the Bible said here. I tell you something right now. They'll tell you down to work sometimes. You can't give out them tracts. And you better not be a praying. And you better not do this. And you better not do that. You let enough people down there stand for what's right. And God turn that place upside down for the glory of God. Watch this. Did not we straitly command you? Let me get this right. Didn't we tell you not to do that? Not to teach in his name? And behold, I love this. Glory to God. They didn't just not do what they told them not to do, but they went above and beyond. This is what the word of God said. It said, but you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. Amen. I'm telling you, they didn't just get it out there around the jail. They didn't just get it out there around the temple. They covered the whole city with the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me tell you something right now. Listen to me carefully. Somewhere along the line, somebody will say something to you like this. Doctrine's not important. Let me just stop tonight and tell you, it is important. Doctrine is what the Word of God teaches. Amen. And I tell you what Peter and them were teaching. They were teaching repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They were teaching, hey, you crucified him, but God raised him from the dead. They were teaching and preaching the truth of God's word with power. They had this in common with Jesus. Remember when Jesus spoke, the Bible said he spake as one having authority and not as the scribes. Have you ever heard somebody preach, so to speak, and they're apologizing the whole time they're standing behind the Word of God? I tell you, that makes me sick. Amen. I tell you, we ought to have authority. The Word of God's in front of us. And the Word of God doesn't need to be apologized for. It just needs to be proclaimed. The Word of God said here, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Peter said, the other apostles answered, we ought to obey God rather than men. Now, how many believes we ought to obey the laws of the land? How many believes that? But I'm going to insert something right here. Until they cross the laws of God. And when they cross the laws of God, listen, I'm telling you, it's coming, folks, in this country. It's coming. People are going to have to make up their mind. Are they going to stand with the laws of man, or are they going to stand with the Word of God? The laws of God. I believe with all my heart. I think I said it Sunday. Once some Sunday, if it wasn't this last Sunday, it was one before. A lot of things are legal, but that don't make them right. Amen. The God of your fathers, the God of our fathers, raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sin. And we are also his witnesses. We're his witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. When they heard that, the Word of God said they were cut to the heart, and they took counsel to kill him, to slay them. Now they're meeting, not just to threaten them, but now they're meeting to see if they can snuff out their very lives. I'll tell you something right now, our country's in trouble. And we need a revival. Amen. You know what we need? We need to get so much power on us that somebody will be cut to the heart. We need to get so much power on us, amen, that somebody get mad enough to kill us. Amen. The Bible said, then stood there up one in the council of Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law. He had in reputation among all the people and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. And he said unto them, you men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what you intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up, I don't know how you say his name there, Theudas, and boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, and all, as many as obeyed him, were scattered and brought to naught. The Bible said, after this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of taxing, and drew away much people after him, he also perished, and all, and even as many as obeyed him were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. I love this. Look at it, please, with me tonight. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. That that's of men will come to naught. You say, preacher, how come there's still an old-fashioned church in this day and hour that we live in? I tell you why. Because God started it. Amen. Man didn't start it. Amen. You say, preacher, I remember back yonder when the church was founded. Praise God. Praise God for our charter members. But I tell you what, it was birthed in the heart and it was birthed of God. It wasn't some man's idea. Amen. I'm going to tell you something right now. The Bible said this, if it's of God, it's going to go right on. But if it's of man, it'll come to naught. But if it be of God, he said, you cannot. I love that. Look at those words. You cannot overthrow it, lest happily you be found even to fight against God. So what did they do? Look at verse 40. And to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus. And they let them go. You see, it looks to me like they would have done got the hint by now. But they whooped them and then told them again, don't y'all be talking in the name of Jesus. Don't y'all be teaching in the name of Jesus. And the Bible said here, watch this. And they departed from the presence of the council, singing, woe is me. Brother Wayne, pray God give us enough grace, amen, if it comes to it, that we could go away rejoicing. We could go away rejoicing that God counted us worthy. Do you all understand that our dear brother that was here Sunday night may very well be marching his precious bride into the jaws of death? I was with a family years ago when I was on deputation, Miss Eve, you remember, four precious children going into the most AIDS-infected area of Africa. He said, preacher, why would a man do that? God put it in his heart. And if God put it in his heart, he said, if God can take care of me here, God can take care of me over there. Hallelujah. I'll tell you something tonight. We've got Christians right now in the world being persecuted. We're no greater than they are. God help us in this country to stand up. May it be more than a song. Stand up for Jesus. Ye soldiers of the cross. I'm going to tell you something right now. I believe with all of my heart. Watch this. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and every house, somebody tell me what those next three words are. They cease not. Can I just say something to the council and to the high priests and to the scribes and the Pharisees? They wasted their breath. They kept telling them over and over and over, don't you teach in his name. Don't you teach in his name. But it didn't do them a bit of good. Amen. They wasted their breath. I'm going to tell you something right now. My prayer is that when they come down the pike telling us we can preach this, but we can't preach that, that we'll just go on preaching what we've always been preaching. Go on, Brother Brian, in that Sunday school class teaching what you've always been teaching. If it was right when you started out, it'll be right after they get done. Amen. With their laws, it'll still be right. The Word of God said here, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Let me leave you with this tonight, church. I heard this years ago. It's not original with me, but it's true. Our Lord will make much of the church that makes much of our Lord. Jesus will make much of the church that makes much of Jesus. I'm going to confess something to you tonight. I believe sometimes we've got Sunday school teachers here tonight and we've got preachers here tonight. But if we're not careful, sometimes we're digging and we're studying and we're digging and we're studying and we're digging and we're studying and we'll just get away from some of the basic. Am I right or am I wrong? Just some of the, I'm almost thinking sometimes, listen, I'm just confessing for me. Sometimes I wonder if I examined my preaching. If I went back and listened to tapes, I hate to have to do that. I don't like listening to myself. But is the gospel made clear how that Christ died for our sin according to the scripture? And he was buried and he rose again the third day. He said, well, preacher, you know, we're in the church here at Bible Way and everybody knows that. How many knows there's been a lot of people in and out of this church since I've been here? And I tell you, a lot of them don't know that. I guarantee it. Amen. Most people think in this generation, if you go to church, you're going to heaven. And nothing could be further from the truth. But I tell you what, right now, I believe God wants us to be just like, you know, how many believes the Apostle Paul was very intelligent? I believe he was. Was it Gamaliel? Did he study at the feet of Gamaliel? A Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was a very, very intelligent man. And he took all of his learning, and he said, I just count it but dung that I might win Christ. He said, I'm determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. What a blessing, amen. What a blessing to read after Peter and read after Paul. And I believe one of the things that's made great men great, you think about Brother Mitchell and some of the preachers, amen, that stayed on the trail and blazed the trail. They just stayed right with the old book. Amen. It kept the cookies on the bottom shelf where everybody could get to them. Amen. Where everybody could get them a good meal from the Word of God. And I thank God for that. I really do. The Bible said here, there was an exclamation at the end of the way. There was an emphatical utterance, an outcry. The Word of God said they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. I want to say this tonight and I'm done. Back up there where, let's see what his name was. Gamaliel, the doctor of the law. Back up here. When he said here, if this is of men, it'll come to naught. How many's ever looked at something somewhere along the way and you just wasn't sure about it? You know what a tendency is? To get our hands on it. Ain't that right? You know what I've learned from that right there? Just leave it alone. If it's of man, it'll come to naught. But if it's of God, amen. If you're not sure about something, now I'm not talking about something that's contrary to the Word of God. If it's contrary to the Word of God, I know who it's of. But if we're not sure about something, just leave it alone. And God will take care of it, amen. If it's of God, can't overthrow it. If it's of man, it'll come to naught. How many believes that's a pretty good observation tonight about the early church? Great fear, great power, great grace, unity, loyalty, purity. How many believes tonight that there'll be some opposition? Amen. You say, preacher, I don't know. I'll be honest with you. How many feels like every time you just get to really walking in step with the Holy Spirit, that even in your own life, you don't even have to have anybody else involved. Just old Slewfoot, just your old flesh. Say amen. He don't want you getting too close. He don't want you being hot. He wants you to be lukewarm, don't he? And he wants preacher to be lukewarm too. Amen. So that opposition will come. But thank God we have the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith.